All right, welcome everyone to the Herb Scribner podcast. We're back again. My name is Herb Scribner. I'm a reporter for the Deseret News. You can find me on Twitter at Herb Scribner. You can find my articles at Deseret.com. So yeah, today's another episode. Just gonna try to run through some things. I want to start off today talking about Star Wars Rogue Squadrons. Star Wars Squadrons, sorry. It's a new video game EA came out with. It's kind of like those old Rogue Squadron games. That's why I kind of got the name mixed up there. It's kind of like one of those old games where it's kind of like a lot of fighter pilot missions. Basically, there's a campaign mode and a multiplayer mode. In the campaign mode, you basically flip between being an Imperial pilot or a Republic pilot. And it takes place after Return of the Jedi. And basically, it's about the Republic trying to, you know, quell down the Empire, and the Empire trying to, you know, get the Republic, that kind of thing. The multiplayer mode is pretty standard for the modern day. It's kind of like, I called it the Fortniteification. That's Fortniteification of Star Wars. Basically, it's a kind of a, you know, Star Wars version of Fortnite, kind of where you're in these ships, you join up with a squad, you go and do your thing. And you basically earn rewards, points, and challenges along the way. And basically, yeah, you can customize your vehicle from there, and it's pretty interesting. I've only played a little bit. The campaign mode was pretty interesting. I think graphically, this game is beautiful. I mean, you're gonna see some really cool shots of the Star Wars galaxy, which I think is great. I think for fans, that could be really fun and engaging because you're just seeing the beautiful planets and the beautiful worlds. And obviously, the storyline has some cool cameos, which I think is nice. And then obviously, yeah, just more Star Wars content for any fan. It's really, really engaging in that way. The story is kind of okay. It's really back and forth. It's hard to really stay dedicated to one player or another. The challenges are pretty fun, but the controls can kind of get in the way. And, you know, I think the game, honestly, the game is probably best played on a huge screen because then you can kind of see every aspect of the challenge and everything like that. I had some fun with the campaign mode. I definitely think like it's worth going through. I think it's kind of like one of those, it's an easier campaign mode compared to like other games and stuff like that. So I definitely recommend it, but I also for sure recommend the multiplayer mode. And that's really where, you know, I think this game really steps up in a level. Because like I said, you can join with your squad, like you can join with your friends. At the same time, there's a multiplayer mode online where you're just competing. And you're just like, you know, it's kind of cool because like some of the game, some of the rounds, like you could just be dropped into like a big mess of a match. So if you're like, if you're just like one person, you might get dropped into, you know, a game of like four or five. So like there was one game where I was kind of thrown into a matchup of like four or five. So I was like the fifth person or whatever, or something like that. So that was kind of cool. But then at the same time, like it's very short. It's like games to 30. So it's very casual. One of my friends and I were talking about it, and you know, he likened it to Rocket League because Rocket League is kind of the same thing where you're kind of dropped into these casual games and you kind of got to go with the flow. So anyway, I like it. I like it like that. I think it's pretty interesting where you have like, you can kind of make the game whatever you want it to be. I think that's what I really liked about it is that you could have like, you know, the story mode, you could have fun with that, but then you could also just do the multiplayer mode where you're just kind of like engaging other players and you're kind of like going through, and it's kind of like a good, to me, like, here's the thing with Star Wars games. Star Wars games can be really full of themselves in the sense that like, they're just like, they're like their own movie and you're playing their movie. That's what I think with like Fallen Jedi Order was kind of like, where you're kind of playing through this movie and that can be really fun, but then it also takes a lot of time. And for someone like me, like I'm not very good at campaign modes, and so it takes a while to get through. The thing I love about this is that like if you want that experience of going through a movie, like you can kind of get that. But at the same time, it's got like the multiplayer mode is so quick and so fast turning that like if you just want to like be a Star Wars pilot for an hour, it's very easy to do. And you don't have to worry about, like, you know, the story mode. You can just customize your vehicles. You can do all that. That's what I love about this. I think they've never really, like, met, like, gotten that down. I really do think, honestly, I think this is the first step for them. I think EA should eventually create a Fortnite version of Star Wars where you can either use like guns and stuff, or you can use lightsabers, and you just kind of like, you have to kill each other kind of a thing, like Battle Royale style. I think that comes next based off this. I think the multiplayer and the matchmaking is very, really smooth in this version of the game. And I don't know, I just kind of like it. I like that you can just drop in and out. You don't have to like stay committed to it. You don't have to like, you know, always be engaged with this long story. You can kind of take a break if you need to. And that's what I really like most about it. I'm going to keep playing it. I don't see myself not playing it at all. Like, I wouldn't write it off. I was telling, you know, I had a couple friends who were like, oh, should I get this game? My takeaway is this. Would I pay $60 for it? You know, I think 60 is a lot. I think especially if you're kind of a casual gamer. But, I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan, it'd be worth it. But I think this is a game you can kind of wait till, like, the Christmas time where it's, like, 20 or 30 bucks and you kind of get it at Walmart in one of those bargain bins. Like, I think that's when you get this game. I know Epic Games has a deal where, like, if you buy, I think, Rocket League, then you get this game with it. Something like that is fine. I think, like, if you're paying, like, full price, like, just know, like, there's some limitations. You know, and I would say, too, if you have friends who are playing it, then, yeah, the $60 mark is actually pretty good. But, you know, overall, it's one of my favorite Star Wars games to date. I think Battlefront games are pretty fun, but this game just has a little bit more, like, you can just jump in and out. I feel like with Battlefront, it's, like, missions and kind of these weird, like, online things mixed with missions, and it seems like it takes a long time. This game is not like that. This game moves quick. It's just, like, you're in and out, but you can keep playing. Like, it's kind of like that, you know, it reminds me of TikTok, because, like, when you're on TikTok, you just start watching videos, and then you never want to leave. That's what I feel it's like. It's like you just don't want to, you keep playing games, keep getting thrown into these clashes, and you want to keep going. I didn't do too well in the multiplayer. I think I got one kill, so it kind of takes some time to, like, get used to the controls and get used to how to aim and then, like, chasing, and eventually you get the skill. I would definitely say there is a little bit of a skill gap in the beginning, so that can be kind of tough, but you want to learn it. And yeah, I'd say the other cool thing is, like, they show good replays. Like, they have good camera angles for the replays. So I think that's kind of fun. And so, like, if you're playing with your friends, then you'll have some hilarious moments along the way. I have some friends who kind of want to get involved, and so I'm trying to get them to get the game so that way we can do, kind of that, you know, multiplayer thing. You know, I just, you know, Star Wars video games, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I've done the Star Wars movie marathon. I've covered, you know, Galaxy's Edge. I've done a lot of Star Wars content. The video games are very interesting. Star Wars is in itself is a very interesting franchise because, like, there's a lot of attention paid to movies, video games, everything. And I think they're trying to find what platforms they work best on. And honestly, recently especially, the movies have kind of lost a little bit of a touch. Like, I don't think people are in love with the movies as they used to be. But the TV show seems to be doing well. You have Clone Wars doing well, Mandalorian doing well. Video games seem to do well. Fallen Jedi Order, Battlefront's pretty much gotten a thumbs up, except for, like, when, you know, with the EA loot boxes and stuff like that. Although you could argue that, like, every modern video game, whether it's NBA 2K, which we've covered in previous podcasts, but, you know, NBA 2K, FIFA, Ultimate Team, you know, these things have that kind of thing. So it's hard to say, like, that's a negative against Star Wars, where you could argue it's really just a negative against the whole system of video games. But overall, yeah, I think that Star Wars video games have been pretty well received. And then, you know, now they have these new books, and you could argue that the books that were out way before were actually better than this one. You know, before Disney, like, they had that whole series of books. So it's interesting to me that, like, it seems like Star Wars has all these stuff, all these materials, all these, you know, avenues that are not in the movies, that seem to do really well. And it seems the movies get all these criticisms. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting place for Star Wars. You know, I think you'll see more of these video games come out. You'll see more projects like that, that really just kind of give you a new avenue to experience Star Wars. And that doesn't mean, like, we don't see the movies. Obviously, we're going to see movies because they're big money makers. But it's interesting when the other products do so well. And I think this is just another step for that. And it's kind of interesting, too, with like, EA, how they have these Battlefront games and they do, like, Fallen Order and all that. But then they also do this fighter pilot thing. So they're trying to find their ground about, you know, where they stand and what kind of video games work best for them. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because this year is, like, you know, the pandemic. And so you got to wonder, like, okay, are they going to, like, just, is this game going to do well? you know, is this the kind of game that people are going to lean toward during the pandemic? I think a lot of people are finding different video games that they like during the pandemic because they need something to do, and when they can't go out, and especially with the winter coming, like, is Squadrons going to be the one that really does that? So it'll be interesting to see what they do. It'll be interesting to see, you know, are they going to how this game's going to be well received nationwide. You know, I don't think it's gotten as big a buzz as I thought it would leading up to the release, but I've seen a lot of reviews and it seems to get a pretty positive review. A lot of the reviews are kind of aligned with what I was saying, you know, like multiplayer mode is kind of the way to go. So we'll see how that grows and whether or not that continues to be a thing. You know, the one thing with video games is what I see is that they're always changing. I mean, like, you know, you had Fortnite that was popular for a while. You had Minecraft, Roblox, all that. And then recently it's been this game called Among Us. And that's just literally a strategy game of trying to figure out, like, who's the imposter, who's that. And so you can even apply that stuff to Star Wars. And so I think Star Wars, in terms of video games, I think you could have the movie ones like Fallen Order, where it's kind of like you're playing through the movie. But I think it would be more important for them to just keep it going, where like they take whatever kind of video game is popular and they make a Star Wars version of it. And I think more people will kind of like find that interesting as we move forward into video games and as we move forward with the franchise, especially as we wait for movies and TV shows, because the pandemic's obviously going to delay those. So yeah, Star Wars. That's my Squadron's take. You know, so yeah, you can read more about it. I have a review up at Deseret.com. You can read about. But that's it on Squadrons. So yeah. So let's take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk NBA, and then we're going to talk a little bit about politics. So we'll be back. All right, we're back. NBA Finals. So I want to go through this a little bit quick. So yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers take a 3-1 lead over the Miami Heat. Last night's game was kind of fun. I kind of like, you know, they went back and forth. It was kind of like this street fight mentality where they're just going back and forth. And you know, you could see it in LeBron. Like, he was just kind of like waiting to see how well he could play, and like waiting to see when he could make his move and make his chess move to like take back the crown here. You know, you always knew, like, you know, Lakers are kind of like this. And I think this is part of the reason why they won last night, is because, you know, they've had this, you know, they've offered like a gentleman's sweep like every series so far. And I think that's what's going to happen with this one, where, you know, they're up 2-0. They've obviously figured out the Heat. And then like the third game, they just didn't really go through Davis a lot. They didn't really do too much with Davis, and they didn't play the way they normally play. I just think they fell asleep and they kind of let Jimmy Butler do whatever he wanted. And so I think with this new game, you know, yesterday, they played a little more through Davis, and they guarded Jimmy really well. And then they just had their role players really play, you know, really good basketball. I mean, KCP was hitting shots. Kyle Kuzma was hitting shots. Markieff Morris was hitting shots. And I think that's what you need. I think that's what you need if you're the Lakers. You need those guys to really show up for you. And that's how you win titles anyways. Like, you got to have the role players, you know, every role player. I mean, like, how many times, you know, you think back to those Lakers teams with Kobe and Shaq. I mean, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher. I mean, those are guys you remember. And it's because they're tremendous role players that helped a championship winning team. So, you know, I think that's just what you needed from them. And they got the win last night. I mean, and you could see it with LeBron. It was one of those games where he just is going to take it over. Now, the thing with LeBron is, like, I think he's played really well for the Lakers. I think he's done a good job. And obviously he is the best player in the league. You know, you could argue Anthony Davis is there, and, you know, obviously regular season, you could argue Giannis and all that. But he's really playing like he's the best player in the league right now. And on top of that, I just think, like, you know, he's got it figured out. But this is like a new era of his career. I still think, like, if I had to go back and say what's peak LeBron, I know a lot of people point to the Miami Heat, but, you know, I think he was still trying to figure things out. I think peak LeBron was Cleveland. I really do think, like, the peak LeBron to me is that, like, 2015 to, like, 20, until he left. I think it's that stretch. It's that stretch where he was just like, I'm carrying this team on my back, and we're just going to, like, win this whole thing. And that 2016, 2017, you know, that season he was amazing. I mean, just winning that title in 2016, I think that's peak LeBron. To me, that's peak LeBron. And I don't think he's really there anymore. You can kind of see he's playing a different kind of game. And I love the analogy that he's like a quarterback, where he's like managing the game. I think that's a super interesting way to look at LeBron, because it's, you notice he slows it down or he plays fast if he needs to. He's controlling the pace of the game. And I think as long as he's controlling the pace of the game, you know, the Lakers have a shot to win. And I think that's really what you're going to see from him in this last game. And then, you know, one of the things I wrote about for Deseret.com a couple months ago, or a couple weeks ago, sorry, was about how this is, you know, this is a big game for his legacy. He wins four titles and then he's on this new level and, you know, he's still not Kobe, still not Jordan, but, you know, in terms of rings, but then if you talk about rings, then you're talking about how, like, you know, then he would just give Bill Russell the title, right? Like, as the best player because he won so many rings. So it's interesting too, because there's been a lot of discussion about what does this mean for LeBron's legacy. And one of the things that I've read recently that I thought was really fitting was, you know, people are saying that, like, you know, Jordan might be the better player, but LeBron will have the better career. And I think that's a very interesting way that we should look at NBA players as we measure them against each other. Like, who had the better career? Who had the better, like, you know, journey throughout their whole stint? The other thing I would say, like, kind of connected to that is just that, like, you have different eras. And so you have, like, you know, what, like, can you really say, like, okay, you know, Jordan's better than LeBron. But then could you say Kareem is better than Jordan? Could you say Bill Russell's better than Jordan? And so I think, like, when you have to measure up players, it's tough. And so, like, one thing that I really like the idea of is, like, maybe there isn't one best player, but there's, like, multiple best players. Like, Bill Russell was the best of his generation. LeBron's the best of his. Jordan's the best of his. You know, Kareem's the best of his. And then so on and so forth. And you kind of get, like a tier. I know, like, the Bill Simmons. There's, like, Bill Simmons, and he has, like, a pyramid. You know, that kind of thing where it's, like, you know, it's not like one best player ever, like the GOAT. It's like multiple GOATs of their era, their teams, their run. Because there are so many eras in basketball. So I think, like, you got to have, like, different eras like that. I think that's really how you look at it. Anyway, so I'm really excited about this last game. I think I'd be fine, obviously, if it goes to six games. I mean, it'll be fun to just kind of see, like, you know, more basketball. Because that's the other thing. That's the important thing here that I think we really need to hit. And that's that, like, this is the end of an era. Like, this is the end of the bubble. This is the end of, like, whatever weird season we had. And now we're going to wait and see what happens next. And the next season might not happen until January. And if that, and that might even be pushed back to March, whenever we can have fans again. We have no idea when we're going to get basketball. We always had this idea that we would get basketball in the summer, maybe in the fall. That was back when the pandemic first hit to finish the season. But now we have literally no idea when there might be basketball. And so I think, like, we really have to appreciate these last few games because it's the last thing we're going to get for a long time. You know, owners are going to obviously want to do it in March when they can have fans again. Players are obviously going to want to do it, you know, after a little bit of a break. So we might not see it until, like, mid 2022 or when the pandemic ends. And when's that, right? Like, you got to hope that there's some, like, you know, antibody, you know, medication or some, you know, vaccine of some sort. And who knows when that's going to be and, like, whether or not it's going to be safe and, like, do players get it? And then how often do they get it? You know, that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be really fascinating to see how long it takes for us to get back to basketball. And so I really want to cherish these next few games. Really, like, you know, I kind of wouldn't mind if it went six or seven just because we'd get more basketball. And I think that's why, like, I'm so interested in NBA 2K right now because of that. So anyway, that's it on the NBA Finals. And let's take another break. All right, last thing I want to talk about today. Obviously, the news, big news this week was, you know, President Trump getting COVID, testing positive for it. It's a pretty big news story, and I kind of want to, like, I guess I don't want to go too much into the specifics of how the coverage went, but it was interesting because, like, that night was kind of like one of those nights. It reminded me of, like, March 11th, which was the night that we found out Tom Hanks had COVID. We found out that Rudy Gobert had COVID. And it was just, like, one of those moments where, like, things start happening and you're kind of like, oh, like, there's a worst case scenario for this. And is it going to lead to that? And that's kind of what happened. Like, it was interesting because, like, you know, we were just, you know, the news came out that Hope Hicks had it. And it was kind of like, whoa, like, that's a pretty big deal. You know, she's spends a lot of time in the White House, around the president a lot. Like, that's a big deal. And then it comes out, you know, Trump goes on Fox News and he talks about how he's being tested for it. We'll find out the results later. And it's one of those moments where, like, you just expect, like, you know, for me, at least, I expect, like, okay, well, he's not going to get it. Like, you know, because they're doing all this testing, you know, kind of keeping an eye on it. And then, yeah, then later he tweets that he had it. And kind of everything kind of broke loose after that. You know, I had to jump in and kind of write an article about it. And then I ended up writing two articles that night about it. And then next day I was just on Trump Watch, day after that on Trump Watch, still on Trump Watch as his doctors kind of, you know, release information about it. And I don't really want to say too much. just about the whole thing. I'm not going to get into the politics of it. But it was one of those things where it's just one of those news stories that it kind of happens and you're not ready for it. And then you have to kind of like jump into it. And that's what this year has been. For me, I'm a writer on, I'm the editor of a trending team. We write about breaking news all the time. We write about big news that happens and, you know, late nights, early mornings, that kind of thing. And it was just one of those things that, you know, I remember like months ago, I was just like, okay, well, like, you know, what does this pandemic look like? Who gets COVID? Who gets coronavirus, right? And I just remember thinking, like, I could see a push alert one day from, you know, a reporter that says, like, President Trump has COVID. And I kept imagining in my mind. And then when it actually happens, you're not ready for it. And you have to kind of jump into it. It was kind of the same thing that happened when Kobe Bryant passed away. You know, there was all this, like, weird, like, you know, RIP Kobe stuff on Twitter. And people are like, well, what's going on? And you don't really know. And then everything starts breaking and you're kind of like, oh, wow, this is real. And then like as a writer, as a reporter, you have to kind of like jump right into it. You don't get time to process these things. And that's what this year has been, because it's just been one thing after another. And it's just like, you know, you jump from one news event to the next. You don't get a lot of time to process. You don't get a lot of time to kind of really think like, okay, you know, what's going on here? What's at stake? You kind of get that after the first little bit. But it's a pretty big deal, and it was, like I said earlier, it was one of those vibes where it was like March 14th, or March 11th, I should say, when Rudy Gobert, when they canceled the Jazz game, and then Tom Hanks, it was revealed that COVID. I mean, it was one of those nights where everybody's kind of like online, and everybody's talking about the news, and everybody's talking about what happened, but it was kind of interesting, because it happened really late, so like the East Coast was asleep for it, and then like, obviously us in Mountain Time and the West Coast, we knew all about it. But it's one of those news events. And again, it just comes back to, you know, it's one of those things like you probably will always remember where you were. I'll always remember where I was when Kobe Bryant died. I was like on my way to Walmart, and I like debated whether to go or not, because I was kind of like, well, like maybe nothing, you know, it'll be fine. And then like nothing will happen. And, you know, I just got to go to Walmart for some stuff. And then I just see TMZ and I'm like, huh, this is weird. Like, is this real? Like, what's going on? And then I kind of just, and then it becomes like real that this is happening. And I always remember. And then I had to pull over in the Walmart parking lot and I had to write an article for my phone with the Trump thing. I was just at home. I was playing NBA 2K. And then like, I see the things coming out and I'm kind of monitoring it just to see, okay, maybe something will happen. Maybe it won't. And then, yeah. And then it breaks. And then I had to jump right on it. So it's just like, this year has been one of those years where like time has really flown by. And I feel like it's crazy we're in October. It still feels like we're in March. And someone was even saying recently they were talking about something and it happened last November or something like that. I mean, we're coming up. The first signs of COVID, I remember I wrote an article about it back in January. And, you know, the reports of things in December here and there. And then, like, you know, there was also, like, kind of reports of, you know, stuff in October even, mild murmurings and, you know, we're almost coming up to the year mark of like when this thing happened. You know, obviously the pandemic happened for the US, you know, everything kind of shut down on March 11th, but COVID was kind of around, kind of in the conversation in like February. Even in March, we were kind of like all joking about it, kind of like, oh, like I wonder if it'll hit the United States. But even in February, there were places that were kind of seeing it, you know, definitely around the world. And then the US, like it came out in full force in March, but I mean, there were reports that it was around in February. I think there was even reports about it being around in December. Just, you know, now we're kind of finding that out. So we don't really know when this whole thing really started. But anyway, what I'm saying is, like, we're coming up to the year mark. And it's pretty astonishing. And there are just a lot of news events that have happened where you know where you were. You know, you knew where you were. And you'll always remember where you were when these things happened. And 2020 is a year that I think a lot of people are going to want to forget. Obviously there's been a ton of tragedy. You know, obviously my thoughts and prayers go out to all the families affected by this stuff and, you know, everybody, because, you know, things can happen and it's an unfortunate year for a lot of people and it's an unfortunate year for all of us, in some regards. And, you know, we're going to remember this year in a lot of ways and, you know, just major moments like that. major breaking news moments like that are just, they're tough. You know, for writers and reporters and journalists, we have to be on the story. We can't get emotionally involved in it. And it's just things we're always going to remember. So it's tough, but you know, all that to say, you know, I've been following this story. I'll continue to, you know, release updates as they come in. Obviously I'm kind of covering it for us tonight. I'll be covering the vice presidential debate. So we'll kind of be on that. But yeah, it's just a crazy time. And I know people are getting sick of the news. People are getting fatigued, but you know, please stay with it. Please follow us. Wherever you get your news, you know, news is very important. You know, be up to date on what's happening, know what's going on. Because you never know what's going to happen, and you never know what you need to know. You know, by the time you need to know something, you might've missed it. So make sure you're just following the news and keep track of things. We live in an interesting media moment. I know there's no perfect answer for some of this stuff. You know, I know some people get their news in different places, and people have a lot of issues with the news. You know, there's no perfect answer for a lot of this. And, you know, it's just important to stay informed. However you stay informed, please do. It's an important year, for that. And, you know, we just got to know what we're dealing with. And I guess I don't really have a point to this. I kind of wanted to share my thoughts about what it was like to kind of report, you know, just that breaking news aspect, following updates, watching press releases. I mean, there's a lot that goes on from the reporter side that, you know, I don't think, you know, we always get to talk about. And just kind of wanted to share those kind of thoughts with you guys. Well, this is kind of getting to the end of the podcast. I think the last episode had like 6 listens. So, thanks to the 6 people who checked this out. Again, you know, if you have any feedback, if you have any thoughts, email me at hscribner@gmail.com. You can follow all my Twitter updates at hscribner. You can follow me at deseret.com. That's deseret.com. We cover everything, one end of the world to the other. So please follow that website for updates. Thanks for listening, guys. And, you know, I appreciate the listens. I know it's not a lot. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there. Again, like I've said before, I'm kind of testing this out. I just kind of wanted to see what it would be like to run a podcast. Could I do it? How many episodes could I do before I got tired of it? So please, every like, every follow, every listen, definitely helps. So that's it. We'll be back sometime this week. We'll probably break down the debate a little bit. Could be tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see how we feel. We'll break down the debate a little bit, maybe a little bit more NBA 2K updates, because I've started a new team in my team. It's called the Salt Lake City Torvos. Torvos based off the Torvosaurus, which is a dinosaur that existed in Utah. I don't know. We'll break down that and kind of talk to you about my team. I don't know. We'll see what goes on. Anyway, thanks again, everybody who's listening. This is Herb Scribner. This is the Herb Scribner podcast. And we'll see you next week.